It was after midnight when our plane landed in the ancient Chinese city of Taipei, Taiwan. I was only 11 years old, but I still remember the excitement I felt looking out the airplane window at the new city I was about to live in. I'd never been out of the United States. I'd never been in Taiwan. I didn't know anything about Taipei, and I didn't speak Chinese. But I wasn't worried because I was with my father. When we got off the plane, we went through customs and immigration, and as we were preparing to leave the airport to our hotel, they sent two cars to pick us up. My parents and my sisters crammed into one car, and there was no room left for me, so they put all the luggage in the second car, and my dad asked me to ride along with the luggage. Even though I didn't know where we were going, it didn't matter because we were going to follow my father. He had everything under control. But unfortunately for me, somewhere from the airport to the hotel, my Chinese driver lost sight of my father's car. And I distinctly remember coming to an intersection with a traffic light, and the Chinese driver turned and looked at me and said something in Chinese, and I began to panic. I looked at him and said, "No Chinese." He looked at me and said, "No English." And he said, "Which way?" I didn't know which way. I'd never been in the city. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even know the name of the place we were going to. And suddenly, my excitement turned to terror. I was lost. I had no idea where I was going or how to get there or when my journey would end. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt unsure about your future, about where you were going or how you'd get there or what would happen in life? Uncertainty can strike us at any time in life, but I think it's near more than ever in the middle of the year. You see, it's a time when we begin to reflect upon the fact that half the year is over and only half remains. It's a time when we begin to wonder if we're going to reach our goals. Maybe you're here today and 2017 hasn't turned out the way you expected. It seems as if you've lost your way. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you're facing uncertainty about a decision or direction and you just don't know what to do. But I have good news for you today. God has everything under control. If you'll stay in faith, if you'll keep obeying and keep following, God is going to come and lead you through the middle of the year and get you out successfully. For I believe that God has a miracle for you in the middle. That's the message in our sermon today. We're going to look at a famous story from the Bible and discover how we can get a miracle in the middle of the battle so that we can be sustained through the middle of the year. But before we go on, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you for being our dad in heaven. Thank you for all that you've done for us to make a way. We're confident this morning, Lord, that you who begun a good work in us will complete it. So we ask you today to give us the wisdom, the truth, the guidance that we need, and the courage to follow it. Open the hearts of our understanding that we might have the revelation today from you so that we can pursue and persevere through the middle of the year. We submit to you now. I bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit so that at the end of the day, your name will be glorified and we will be blessed. We thank you now in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. I want to invite you to take a moment and pray along with me. Just put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to Agape House New Testament Church and a special happy Father's Day to all the dads once again. Today is a great day, whether you knew it or not. Today is day number 169 in the year 2017. That's right, day 169. That means that there's 196 days left in the year. In just a few weeks, we'll be hitting the halfway point of 2017. How does that make you feel? Well, for some of you, you might feel good. You might think the first part is the hard part, so now it gets easier. But for a lot of us, that news brings a little bit of trepidation or uncertainty. After all, we might be looking at our lives and wondering if we've made any progress. For others of us, there's a ticking time clock and we're under pressure. But whatever your perspective is, the middle of the year is a good time to turn to God and reflect and get renewed. As we approach the middle of the year, it's time to ask God's help. But you see, God has you covered in the middle. He didn't just get you started in the year and then left you on your own. He's here to walk you through the year. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, but he's also the God of the middle. He doesn't just push you out into life and then wait for you at the finish line. He's there to walk with you through every day, through every decision, through every moment of your life. And he wants you to understand today that if you will simply persevere, he will come and carry you through so that you receive his promise. That's the encouragement we get from our scripture text today. It's found at the top of your sermon notes. Your notes are inside the bulletin and they look like this. So I invite you to take them out now and follow along as we discover three lessons about perseverance. And there, our scripture text is taken from Hebrews 10, 36. I want to invite you to read it out loud together with me. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1, go. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I love this simple, amazing verse because first of all, it's got a promise. God says, you will receive. So just lift up your hand and say, I'm going to receive. God has something good for you. God's got a promise for you of strength and of grace in the middle of the year. But then secondly, it's not just a promise, it's a pattern. It says if you will do the will of God, that's the way to follow. That's the way forward. You get the promise when you do the will of God. But then there's a proclamation as well. It just says persevere. There's a command that there's something you've got to do. You've got to persevere in order to get the promise. But if we're honest today, this is where many of us get stuck. This is where we face the battle. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're like me, sometime throughout this year, you probably felt like giving up. There were some days, to be honest, I didn't even want to get out of bed. I didn't know how I was going to go on. There were days I wanted to quit. And that's the challenge for all of us that we face in the middle. We know there's a promise. We know God has a plan. But in the middle of the battle, when the battle is raging and the voices of doubt come and you don't seem to be getting through things, that's where you need to persevere. So let me help you discover some lessons on how you can persevere in the middle. Let's find out how we can get through the middle of the battle so we can get through the middle of the year. And to help me do that, we're going to study a famous story from the Bible found in Joshua 6, the story of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. My good friend Isaac Odoy is here to read selections for us.
The people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town 7 times with a priest blowing the horns. When you hear the priest give one long blast of the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can.
Can you shout together with me right now? Hey!
Then the walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the town. So Joshua called the priest and ordered the army, advance, march around the city, with an armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord. So he heard the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to the camp and spent the night there. They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded a trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the armies, shout, for the Lord has given you the city.
Come on, somebody shout with me.
When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted at the sound of the trumpet. When the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in and they took the city. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Isaac. I love this story. You've probably heard it before. You probably read it. Maybe you've heard it preached before. But today I want us to focus on one particular aspect, and that is the lessons we learn about perseverance. And here's your first one today. Don't stop when you don't know where you're going. Just take your pen and fill in the blank with the word where and understand what it says in verses 1 and 2. Let's go back to the beginning of the story. Now, the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've delivered Jericho into your hands. Now, if you think about these two verses for a minute, something doesn't add up. Here we are in verse 1, and the Bible says the gates are barred and the walls are high. And then in verse 2, God says, see. And if I were Joshua, I would have said, see what? I can't see anything. I can't see into the city. I can't see where we're headed. I can't see what our aim or our goal is. How can I see what's inside? So here's what you need to understand today is that God's promise is connected to what you see. God was not telling Joshua to look with his natural eyes because he couldn't see anywhere, but God was asking Joshua to look through God's eyes. For the fact is, you may not see where you're going, you may not see inside the city, but God knows where you're going and God sees the way forward. Here's a start to what you need to get through the middle. You've got to remember in the middle of the battle that God has seen the end and he knows you win when you persevere. See, there's no doubt, victory is sure. God sees the end, he knows how it ends up, and he knows that if you'll just stay in faith, you're going to win the battle. That's why God spoke to Joshua, I have delivered them into your hands. For God speaks in the past tense about battles you haven't even fought yet. They hadn't even started marching, but God said, it's already assured. And God says to you today, if you will persevere, if you don't give up, if you keep moving forward under my control, then you are guaranteed a victory. But when we're in the middle of the battle, we don't see that. We tend to get our eyes on the walls and the barred gates. You don't always see in the natural how things will work out. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith, not by sight. Let's remember something today about Joshua and the children of Israel. They had never occupied a city like this. All of the Israelites who were marching around Jericho had never gone into the promised land before. They were aiming for a goal that they didn't even understand. Their natural mind could not comprehend what it would be like to possess the promised land and to gain the victory. They didn't know where they were going. And that's the way it is whenever you walk in faith. For if there is no uncertainty in your life, you're not walking by faith. That's true for all of us. God is taking all of us to a place we've never been before. We've never been to heaven. We can read about it, but we cannot imagine what it's like to be with the angels and worship. We can't imagine the glory of worshiping Christ in his presence or eating at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We don't know the joy we will experience of being reunited with loved ones who've gone on. We can't actually see in the natural what God has ahead of us. And not only in the eternity, but even in this life, God has planned things for you that you don't even know about. He's destined you and promised you things that you cannot imagine or understand. And when we get to the middle of the battle, in the middle of the year, we're tempted to wonder if it's worth it because we don't see. That's the lesson we can learn from the true story of Ronald Wayne. You may never have heard of Ronald Wayne, but I can guarantee you've heard of the company he helped to found. You see, Ronald Wayne was a co-founder of Apple, the international computer giant. If you have an iPhone or an iPad, you have Ronald Wayne to thank. Now, I know you're thinking, but wait a minute, didn't Steve Jobs found Apple? And he did, but he didn't do it alone. In fact, there were three men, Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and you guessed it, Ronald Wayne. They're the ones who originally founded Apple. But why do we know the name Apple and Steve Jobs, but we don't know Ronald Wayne? Well, even though he was a co-founder of Apple and owned 10% of the company, and his name was used to register the company, we don't know about Ronald Wayne for one simple reason. Ronald Wayne didn't see what was headed for. He didn't see the potential of the company. Shortly after Apple was founded, Ronald Wayne got cold feet. He got nervous. He thought it was too risky for him to invest his life and his time in a company that was producing something no one had ever heard of. And so Ronald Wayne, because he couldn't see the future, decided to get out of Apple, and he sold his 10% stake in the company. He sold it for the huge sum of $800 US. Of course, Apple has gone on to be a multi-billion dollar company. We all know about Apple. In fact, if Ronald Wayne had kept his 10% stock that he sold for $800, today that same shares would be worth over $75 billion U.S. dollars. That's right. Ronald Wayne sold his 10% for $800, and today that 10% is worth over $75 billion, all because he didn't see. That's why your promise is connected to what you see. If you can't see it by faith, you won't persevere, you won't pursue, you won't stick it out. If you don't have eyes of faith, when the going gets tough, you'll give up. That's why Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for. It is being sure of what we do not see. So here's what you need to get your miracle in the middle of the battle. You need to understand if you're going to progress to a place you've never been before, you'll have to do what you've never done before. That's the example that Abraham, the father of faith, gives to us. When he was living in Ur of the Chaldees, God said, get up and go to a land I will show you. Abraham had never been to Canaan. He didn't know the way. He didn't know how he would get there. And he didn't know how good the land was. But listen to what verse 8 of Hebrews 11 says. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. But here's the good news for Abraham and for all of us. God blessed him more than he knew. Even though he didn't know where he was going, he obeyed by faith and not by sight. And when he got there, he not only got a land, he not only got an inheritance, but he became a hero, a patriarch, and a father in the faith. And I believe that God has the same plan for us. For whenever you walk by faith, whenever you persevere, when you don't know where you're going, God has a greater destiny and a greater blessing for you than you can imagine. That's why Ephesians 3:20 says God is able to do far more than we could ever ask for or imagine. He does everything by his power that is working in us. And I declare to you today, when you walk by faith, you are guaranteed a greater reward, a greater blessing, a greater destiny than you ever dreamed of before. So here's the truth you need to hold on to in the middle of the battle. God always exceeds expectations for those who trust in him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. So turn your notes over to page 2 and think about what this means for us. It means that no matter what you've seen or what you've heard or what you dream about, God can do something greater. That's why I believe that not a single one of us understands the full weight of glory of what God desires to do in our lives. I've been serving God in full-time ministry for more than 40 years. I know I don't look that old, but it's true. And I've seen a lot. I've seen God heal people. I've seen blind eyes opened and deaf ears opened. I've seen the dead come back to life. I've seen tens of thousands of people come to give their life to Christ. I've seen churches planted and pastors and missionaries trained and sent out. I've seen orphans rescued. But I have not seen everything that God has for me. There's still something more. And I can tell you that I've studied theology and I've heard of great revivals. I've heard of prayer meetings that lasted over 100 years. I've heard of nations being shaken by the power of God. I've heard where jails and prisons went empty and police stopped arresting people because there were no more criminals because revival swept through a city. But I haven't heard it all. There's still something more. And sometimes I sit back at my house and I daydream and I imagine, what will it be like when we build our new cathedral? What will it be like when we number in the tens of thousands? What will it be like when God uses Agape House to win the lost all around our community and around the world? But I cannot imagine everything that God has for me. There's still something more. And the same is true in your life as well. There's something more that God has for you. Your eyes haven't seen it. Your ears haven't heard it. You can't imagine it all. No matter how great your dream, God has something greater. He has a miracle in the middle waiting just for you. If you believe it, say amen. So do not limit your life by what you see. Do not limit your life to what you're familiar with. Don't stop in the middle of the battle when you don't know where you're going. For your faith is only as strong as your ability to apply it when you don't understand. Don't stop when you don't know where you're going. Then number two, don't stop when you don't know how far you've come. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word far and go back to Joshua 6:3 for me for just a moment. The Bible says there, God told them to march around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. And I want you to think about the impact this made on the soldiers and the warriors with their swords ready. And suddenly the news comes, go and march around the city. And when you're marching in circles, you cannot see the progress. If I move from here to there, I can see the progress. But when you're moving in circles, where you start is where you end. And when you end where you began, there's no progress. And that's how some of you feel right now. The way you started the year is the way you are right now. You started the year without a job, and you still don't have a job. You started the year single, and you're still single. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. You started the year sick, and you're still sick. You're still in debt. You're still depressed. You're still doing nothing. And you view your life as marking time, wasting time. But here's what you need to understand. Your progress is in the process. See, God has a different view of progress than you do. We view progress by milestones and markers, but God views progress by internal transformation. He views our progress by how far we've come in the process, and you have to understand the process. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. The promise is God's part. The possessing is our part. And between the promise and the possession is the process. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word process. That's what we see when God led Joshua and the children of Israel into the promised land at the very beginning. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 8, God said, look, I am giving all this land to you. That's the promise. Go and occupy it. That's the possession. For it is the land the Lord swore to give to you. So God gave the promise, but the children of Israel had to possess it. And between his promise and the possession was the process. And the fact is, you have to be faithful in the process in order to possess your promise. If you want to achieve great things in your life, you have to go through a great process. A lot of people have great ambition, but they're not willing to persevere through the process. They look at the end, but they don't realize there was a process to get there. A lot of young men come to me and say, oh, Pastor, I want to be like you. I want to have a big church like you. I want to drive a big car like you. I want to have a big ministry like you. That's fine. If you want to be like me, then go through the process I went through. For I didn't end up here without starting there, and between here and there is a process. If you want to be like me, go back to where I and my wife started, at Madam Ukweku Villa in Sapele, Nigeria. That's where we started. Madam Ukweku Villa was a very old house. We lived in the upstairs in an apartment in a single room. We had no furniture except for a bed, no chair, no fan, no table, no air conditioner. There was no mosquito net on the window. We had to keep the windows closed at night because the mosquito is the national bird in Nigeria. There was no running water, no pipe-borne water in the house at all. There was a well in the compound, but this was not a well with a hand pump. It was a well where you bring your own bucket and rope. If you're over 30 years of age, you know what I'm talking about, a well with a bucket and a rope. For you young guys, sorry for you. So anytime we wanted water, I had to take the bucket with the rope, climb down the stairs, go to the well in the compound, drop the bucket, get the water, carry it upstairs. I got the water from the well until I didn't, because in dry season, our well went dry. So then I had to take the bucket with the rope, climb down the stairs, cross the street, go to a neighboring compound, to a public well, drop my bucket in, carry the bucket across the street, up the stairs, and use the water. We had no internet, no telephone, no TV, no fan, no nothing. I started there, but now I'm here. It was a process. But I'll be honest, there were a lot of times in that process I didn't think I was making any progress. There was a lot of times where it looked like I took two steps forward and three steps backwards. There were times I was thinking I should quit because I wasn't getting anywhere in life. When we left Nigeria to come to Ghana, we left a ministry, we left our house, and we came and started all over again. Sometimes it looked so bad, it looked like we'd lost ground, but we kept marching. For as long as you're faithful to God in the process, you are always making progress. When you don't see where you're going, see that God is working in you. That's why James 1, 2, and 4 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way," that's the process, "consider it an opportunity for great joy," that's perseverance. "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." In other words, when you let God work in you, then you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. You'll reach your destiny when you allow God to work in you through the process. Last week, a young Nigerian lady took the United States of America by storm when she appeared on the popular television program America's Got Talent. Kechi Akuchi gave a powerful rendition of the popular song Talking or Thinking Out Loud, and in front of celebrity judges like Simon Cowell and in front of millions of television viewers. But to get to that stage and to sing with such passion, Kechi Akuchi had to pass through a process that involved years of suffering. You see, Kechi was on board Sosolisa Flight 1145 when it crashed in Nigeria in 2005. Of the 109 passengers on board, 107 died. Kechi Akuchi was one of only two survivors. She was badly burnt. She had to undergo 100 surgeries. She spent months in the hospital bed suffering and in pain, thinking, "Where is my life headed? How am I going to make progress? Will anything good ever come of this? And when will it all end?" But in that suffering, music became her escape. And in the years of recovery, music became the way for Kechi to heal emotionally. The promise of her voice passed through the process of change, and in that process, a new star was born. Now, I'm not telling you that you have to go through a plane crash to achieve your dreams. And I'm not advocating that you have to be burned and go through surgery in order to succeed. But I do believe this: your miracle in the middle doesn't begin with a breakthrough in your circumstances. Your miracle in the middle begins with a breakthrough inside of you. And before the walls of Jericho fell down, the walls of fear and insecurity and intimidation had to fall inside God's people. Before they captured the city, they had to capture their attitude and capture their tongues. For don't forget that their fathers had gone around in the wilderness for 40 years, grumbling and murmuring and complaining. That rebellious and disobedient generation had been banned from the promised land. And when God brought the new generation into the promised land, he needed to know whether they would behave like their ancestors or whether they would follow him. So when God brought the new generation into the promised land, his biggest concern wasn't how they could conquer the land. God's biggest concern was how would they handle his commands. He had to test them to know whether that rebellion, that fear, that bitterness and complaining had been dealt with. So God gave them a challenge and a task that seemed to make no progress, go round and round. Would they obey him when they didn't know where they were going? Would they obey him when they couldn't see the future? Would they obey him when they didn't know how far they had come? Would they obey orders to march in seemingly wasted time, or would they murmur and rebel? That's why in Joshua 6:10, God said to them, "Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout." For the 7 days they marched, they were banned from speaking. The orders from headquarters was shut up and march. So tell your neighbor, shut up and march. Don't speak. Don't complain. Don't murmur. Don't make a sound. You know what, friends? The miracle at the Battle of Jericho was not that the walls fell down. The miracle in Jericho was the obedience of God's people when they couldn't see their progress. 6 million people marching without murmuring, without pushing, without jumping the queue, without getting angry, without complaining. 6 million people marching in silence. Let me be clear. It was not the voice of a prophet that brought the walls of Jericho down. It was the obedience of God's people as they passed through the process. Sometimes we're so busy looking for a miracle, we miss the greatest miracle of all, a transformed life. Sometimes we're so busy chasing a man of God to deliver us from our problem that we fail to give simple obedience to the clear commands of God that will take us out. Sometimes you think you're not making progress because you're looking for progress in the wrong areas. God is using what you're passing through to work in you in ways that you don't understand. The children of Israel had to learn obedience and submission. The progress they were making as they marched around Jericho was building faith and obedience. For the fact is, God wants to change you on the inside before he changes things on the outside. That's why 2 Peter chapter 1 says this: by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. In view of all this, make every effort. Tell your neighbor, make every effort to respond to God's promise. Tell your neighbor, respond to God's promise. How do we do that? Supplement your faith with the generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. Do these things and you will never fall away. In other words, what God is saying, if you'll focus on the process and allow God to transform you on the inside, you can leave the transformation outside to God. If you'll focus on transformation of your heart and life and get yourself in line with God's word, you will never fall, you will never quit, you will never give up, you will be able to persevere, you'll have the miracle in the middle of the battle that will take you through the middle of the year because God is working on your end and you'll never end up short, you'll never give up. The progress God was looking for at Jericho wasn't geographical, it wasn't a task. The progress he was looking for was obedience and submission to him. Because outcome is God's responsibility, but obedience is your responsibility. And the process may be painful, but it doesn't end when you quit. So don't stop when you don't know where you're going. Don't stop when you don't know how far you've come. And then number three, don't stop when you don't know when you'll finish. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word when. And read with me Joshua 6:7, where the Bible says, Joshua ordered the army advance, march around the city with an armed guard, going ahead of the ark of the Lord. And here's one of the most unusual aspects of this story. God himself told Joshua when the battle would end. God told Joshua when the walls would fall. He said, on the seventh day, the walls will come down. But Joshua didn't tell the people. And you've got to understand, when the army was marching around the city day after day, they had no idea when this would end. They didn't know if it would last one day or 5 days or 5 months or 5 years. And often we're in battles and we don't know when it will end. Sometimes it seems like we're not making progress. Sometimes we seem to be going back. But as long as you keep your eyes on your Heavenly Father, as long as you persevere, you're going to get to the end successfully. You've got to trust that God is working in you, even when what you're doing doesn't seem to be working. You've got to trust that his time is best. You may not know when your trial will end. You may not know when your prayer will be answered. You may not know when your miracle will come, but you can know today that God has your time in his hand. That's why Ecclesiastes 3:11 says he does everything just right and on time. People can never completely understand what he's doing. You will never completely understand God. If you could understand God, he's not God. There's mystery about the divine. But you can trust him. When it's time to shout, God will bring you out. You see, the fact is, when God fights for you, the battle can end suddenly. It doesn't take him years and years to work out your miracle. Think about the children of Israel when they left Egypt. The Bible says when they had all crossed the River Jordan, suddenly the waves came and swept away the Egyptians. We see this again and again when David stepped out in faith and slung the swing. Suddenly the giant fell. When Elijah finished his ministry, suddenly the chariot came and took him to heaven. When Jesus spoke to the winds and waves, suddenly they became calm. When Jesus healed the sick, suddenly the crippled walked and the blind saw and the deaf heard. Suddenly the dead came back to life. It doesn't take long for God to work. And when the people of God at Jericho passed through the process, suddenly the walls fell down. And I'm here to declare to you today, it doesn't take God long to give you your breakthrough. It doesn't take him more than a second to answer your prayer and give you a miracle. And suddenly God is going to come to you this year. Suddenly that check is going to be signed. Suddenly that contract is going to go through. Suddenly you're going to meet that man of your dreams. Suddenly the phone call will come. Suddenly you'll be healed. Suddenly you'll have the wisdom and understanding to know what to do. Suddenly you'll be recognized. Suddenly you'll be rewarded. Suddenly you'll become pregnant. Somebody say amen. I don't know when your answer will come, and I don't know when your breakthrough will come, and I don't know when the prayer will be answered, but I know that God has your time in his hands. And even though it seems like it's delayed, God's time is perfect. For the enemy is powerless to stop God's plan for your life. As long as you keep moving forward, as long as you keep persevering, God's will cannot fail. You may be here this morning and you're thinking, where am I headed? I don't understand where God's taking me. I don't see my next step. But trust in his love. He's got a better plan for you than you can imagine. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, I just don't see any progress in my life. I seem to be just marking time, wasting time. But trust that God is working on the inside before he works on the outside. You may be here today thinking, when will this end? When will my prayers be answered? When will I get through this job? But trust in God's timing. He can turn things around suddenly. For Jesus said in John 16, 20, you will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. Things may seem tough at the middle of the year, passing through difficulties, but suddenly, God will turn it around if you persevere and don't give up. Your destiny is sure. You will possess the promise when you persevere. See, friends, the Israelites had to endure what they didn't know how long it would last. And think about what would have happened if after the end of the first day they'd gotten discouraged. Think about how bad it would have been if on day two they'd gone home and started complaining. Think about if on day three or four or five or on day six, they'd said, this isn't working. There's no movement, no progress. We don't see what's happening. We've got to try a different means. They'd gotten so close, 40 years in the wilderness, and come right to the gate of the promised land. But if they'd given up, they would have lost it all. So my word to you today is don't stop on six. Don't stop when you've been going round and round and you don't see progress. Don't stop when you can't see the way forward. Don't stop when you don't know will it end. For there's a miracle in the middle if you'll just persevere. You've come too far to go back now. You've come too far to quit. You've come too far. You've passed through all that to give up now. No way. Your breakthrough is right at hand. God's answer for you is right at hand. You're so close. If you just keep marching, just keep giving him praise, just keep following, just keep pursuing. So I want to invite you today to stand together with me all across the auditorium, in the balcony, in the sides, and stand together and lift up your hand and say, I will not quit. Come on, just lift up your hand and say, I will not quit. I may not know where I'm going. I may not see progress. I may not know when it will end, but I will not quit. I will pass through the process. I will possess the promise, for I believe there's a miracle in the middle of the battle. Do you remember my adventure in Taipei, Taiwan? There I was in a strange city after midnight, didn't speak the language, didn't know where I was going. Well, let me tell you the rest of the story. Suddenly, I looked up and I saw my dad's car ahead of me. Suddenly, I looked up and I saw he'd rolled down the window and he was sticking out his hand, waving at me, calling my name. Suddenly, my father was there to lead me home. And to our amazement, we discovered that we'd been on the right road the whole time. We were closer to our destination than we thought. We picked up my dad's lead and followed him, and then we were there. And suddenly, everything made sense. And I want you to know today, you may have lost sight of your Heavenly Father, but He has not lost sight of you. You may be uncertain about your future, but God is not uncertain. Keep doing what He told you to do. Keep obeying. Keep pressing. And God will come and guide you. God will come and rescue you. God will come and meet you. He'll show up. He'll lead you. That's who He is. That's what He does. That's how it works. That's how you get your miracle in the middle. Almighty Father, I bless your people today. Give us strength, Lord, for every one of us who's struggling in the battle. For everyone who doesn't know where they're headed and seems to have lost their way. For everyone who's feeling discouraged because they don't see progress. For everyone who wonders, when will this trial end? Speak to our hearts. Call us home. Let us see you. See your plan. Build faith in our hearts today through the process that we might possess the promise. Jesus' name, amen.